Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of the South Hills, also known as Sunny Hill. We're delighted that you could join us here this morning for our service. Our mission here at Sunny Hill is to create a more just and compassionate community within and beyond our walls. My name is Mary Jo Hennessy, and I serve as a worship associate for this congregation. If you are a newcomer or a visitor, please go to sunnyhill.org and click on the button that says New to Sunny Hill, and you'll receive a lot more information about our congregation. You can sign up to receive our weekly newsletter called The Beat, which gets sent to your email on Wednesdays and is full of all the very vibrant events going on within the congregation and outside of the congregation that support our mission. And if you are out there joining us online today under your warm, comfy blankets, please say hello or good morning in the comments on Facebook or YouTube. We'd love to hear from you as well. Today's service is titled, The Gospel of Mark, Good News. What is the good news of our current era? Is there such a thing as good news when we are facing so many grim challenges? This sermon, the first of three inspired by the Gospel of Mark, will explore what it means to be bringers of good news, even or especially in dark times. Our opening words were written by Gretchen Haley. What's going to happen? Will everything be okay? What can I do? In these days, we find ourselves too often stuck with these questions on repeat. What's going to happen? Will everything be okay? What can I do? We grasp at signs and markers, articles of news and analysis, Facebook memes and forwarded emails as if they were the new zodiac, capable of forecasting all that life may yet bring our way, as if we could prepare, as if life had ever made any promises of making sense or turning out the way we thought, as if we are not also actors in this still unfolding story. For this hour, we gather to surrender to the mystery, to release ourselves from the needing to know, the yearning to have it all figured out, and also the burden of believing we either have all the control or none. Here in our song and our silence, our stories and our sharing, we make space for a new breath, a new healing, a new possibility to take root that is courage forged in the fire of our coming together and felt in the spirit that comes alive in this act of faith, that we believe still a new world is possible, and that we are creating it already, here and now. Now please join me in saying the words to light our chalice. May this fire we kindle light our way as we work to transform and heal ourselves and our world.
Today's sermon is the first of three that I am delivering on the Gospel of Mark, which is not coincidentally the subject of a six-week Bible study that I am leading on Mark during the season of Lent. In fact, we just had our third session this past Wednesday and still have several to go. The study guide that we're using is a book written by Amy Jill Levine titled The Gospel of Mark, A Beginner's Guide to the Good News, which is also the source of much of the material for this sermon series. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the Christian Gospels and is thought to be the oldest. It was written in Greek somewhere around or after the year 70 in the Roman Empire and was used as source material for the later Gospels. Mark contains nothing about Jesus' conception or birth, nor does it, in its original version, contain an account of the resurrection or anything that took place after the resurrection. The Gospel of Mark is, simply put, a brief account of the life and teachings of Jesus, beginning with his baptism by John the Baptizer and ending with the discovery of the empty tomb on the third day after the crucifixion. The entire book of Mark is focused on Jesus, except for one passage having to do with the death of John the Baptizer, which in some ways foreshadows Jesus's eventual death. Jesus, as presented by Mark, is an enigmatic and not entirely likable character. As described by Levine, in Mark's gospel, Jesus teaches more by actions than by words. Many cite Luke's compassionate Jesus, who says, "Blessed are the poor," tells parables of the Good Samaritan and prodigal son, and prays from the cross, "Father, forgive them." Levine says, "I picture Luke's Jesus extending his arms and welcoming people into his embrace." Mark's Jesus, on the other hand, is more likely to glare in frustration, whether at demons who promote their own kingdom or at disciples who miss his points again and again. Mark's gospel proceeds at a breathless pace as Jesus travels from place to place, performing miracles, teaching in the form of parables, and then quickly moving on. From start to finish, Jesus seems to be impatient and in a hurry to get to the next thing. It's useful to know a little bit about the historical context of what was happening at the time that Jesus lived, as well as what was happening at the time that Mark's gospel was written. Jesus was born and lived his life in Judea, one of the farthest corners of the Roman Empire at that time. Judea was a land of ancient traditions and religious fervor, and decades of oppressive Roman rule was leading to ever-growing resentment among Judeans. As Jesus was growing up, Judea was collapsing into chaos. Its population had split into hostile groups. Preachers and prophets roamed the countryside, drawing enormous, passionate crowds. It was a time of great unrest and great uncertainty. Some decades later, likely between the years 64 and 72, the Gospel of Mark was written during the time of the first Jewish revolt against Rome, when the Jerusalem temple was destroyed several decades after Jesus was crucified. The destruction of the temple in Jerusalem was a seminal event that led to even more unrest and uncertainty among Judeans and in the Roman Empire. So there was a lot going on at the time of Jesus and at the time of the writing of Mark. And it is clear that these historical circumstances played a major role, not just in the life and death of Jesus, but also in the way that the story of his life and death was told decades later, not by an eyewitness, but by an author or authors who compiled stories from the oral tradition that grew around Jesus following his death. The first words of the Gospel of Mark, translated from the original Greek, are the beginning of the good news of Jesus, Messiah. Messiah literally means the anointed one, which can connote either savior or one who is blessed and can bestow blessings. The phrase good news, oiangelion in Greek, would have been familiar to contemporaries of Jesus and Mark as it related to the Roman Empire. It was good news, usually of the political sort. The good news of the emperor's birthday, for example, often came with tax relief or gifts to the poor. However, thanks in no small measure to Mark, The term very early became associated with the story of Jesus. So we can begin to see almost immediately this juxtaposition between the good news of Jesus on one hand and the good news of the empire on the other. And any time that an empire is challenged in some way, any time residents of an empire start believing that good news can come from outside the system of empire, the leaders of that system start to feel threatened. That was true 2,000 years ago, and it's still true today. But what was the good news of Jesus? It had to do with the inbreaking, the breaking into human history of this thing that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven itself is such an elusive concept that Jesus can only describe it using parables, which is a constant source of frustration, both for the disciples and for contemporary readers of Mark as well. In the parables of Mark, Jesus says that the kingdom is like seed scattered on the ground. It is like a lamp. It is like a mustard seed. It is like salt. It is like a fig tree, on and on, parable after parable, describing what the kingdom of heaven is like without actually describing it. However, one thing that seems clear in the Gospel of Mark is that the good news is happening now. It is breaking into our lives at this moment. For the Jesus of Mark, good news is not about some promise of salvation in the afterlife, at least not only that. It is about the here and now and what can happen in the here and now if we are awake to it. The good news of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark is that we, all of us, do have agency in our own lives and in the world, and how we perceive this agency can make a difference in how it comes to be. We have power, we have agency, we can make a difference, and if we are open to it, we can see the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven even now. That is the good news of Jesus. It's a simple concept, but it's also incredibly difficult. Let's fast forward a couple of thousand years to our own place and time. What is the good news today, especially for us as religious liberals and Unitarian Universalists? What is our good news? To put forth my own parabolic example, I would say that our good news is a little bit like a bad joke that I sometimes tell when we're raising money for the congregation. It goes like this. The good news is that this church has all of the money it needs to fulfill its mission and reach its goals. The bad news is that it's sitting in our bank accounts right now. The good news is that transformation and healing are possible. But it's up to us to manifest these things here and now, to bring them into being. Even in a world that seems hopelessly fractured, even in times that seem incredibly dark, transformation and healing can and do occur. But only if we embrace our role in making these things real. Transformation is possible. Healing is possible. It is not too late. That is our good news. When we cultivate gratitude, when we pay attention to everything that is happening around and within us, when we act upon our most deeply held values, then we are beginning to live our good news. To go even further with the good news of Unitarian Universalism, the good news is that you are loved just as you are, and you are not alone. The good news is that everything is connected to everything else. The good news is that communities like ours are already starting to bring into being something like the world that might be, the beloved community that we bring into being together. Good news does not always mean good times. It is challenging to live into the good news. The cards seem stacked against us much of the time. There are personal and societal challenges that are real and frequently daunting. The way forward is not always clear. But the possibility of a way forward is always there. Even when we can't see it, we hold that possibility of healing and transformation for one another. That is the strength and the power of transformational religious community. Even when you are feeling broken by the storms of life, those around you in this community are building and holding a container in which you might be restored to well-being and wholeness. And yes, all of that is good news. I'm reminded of a poem by Buddhist writer Marcy Thurston Shane in a piece inspired by Thich Nhat Hanh titled More Good News. The good news exists, often twisted and obscure. We try to print and live it right. Each of us is a special edition, every moment new ink wet behind our ears. The good news is being alive, changing. Knowing the linden tree stands there, changing, yet strong through many harsh winters. The good news is your eyes that touch the blue sky, the clouds. The good news is the child before me, my arms available. Hugging is possible. So often news is tangled and wrong. Please look at the special edition that I offer every moment and tell me if I am wrong or hurtful. The dandelion is there in a crack in the sidewalk, smiling her wondrous smile, singing her song of eternity. Bow your head and listen to her, sing to her. You and I are flowers of a tenacious family. Breathe slowly and deeply, free of previous occupation. The latest good news is that you can do it, and that I can take time to do it too, with you. Between now and the upcoming elections, we're going to need to gird our loins a little bit. And part of what I'm trying to do is to give us all some tools and some reminders that might be helpful in this endeavor. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the importance of cultivating gratitude in good times and bad. Last week, I focused on the importance of paying attention to both the challenging and beautiful things of life. And this week, I am reminding all of us, myself included, that we have good news to share right here and right now. I hope and pray that we will live our good news, that we will pay attention to the dandelion growing from the crack in the sidewalk, that we will breathe slowly and deeply, knowing in our bones that together we can do whatever needs to be done. May it be so. Amen.
Please let us say together the words for extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
In this religious community, we reach back into the past to honor those who came before us and those who have given so much so that we may be here today. And we reach forward with hands of welcome to embrace those who are new to our congregation. Wherever you are in your journey and wherever your path may take you, may you carry the good news that you have heard here today with you in your heart and on your lips as a blessing to everyone you may meet. Go in peace.